Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We want to continue to look at the COVID-19 pandemic crisis as a possible implication for one world religion, one world government. We've been kind of looking, going down this path. And, you know, I'm no expert on medical things, and I have no background in that area. But, you know, at this point in time, anything's possible. It's hard to know what to believe and who to believe, isn't it? It's an election season, and you always have to remember the old quote, the Democratic quote, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. And, you know, that comes to my mind here. And, you know, I always want to keep credibility. So, you know, I'm not drawn towards many conspiracy theory type things. But I will say this, you know, I don't believe in conspiracy theories unless they're true. Okay. And that might be a good title for tonight's podcast. Don't believe in conspiracy theories unless they're true, because of course there's been conspiracy theories in the past in history that have turned out to be true conspiracies, haven't there? So it's wise to be discerning. Obviously, that's what we're all about here, and that's what we want to do, is check out things according to the Word of God and through prayer and as the Lord guides. But sometimes it's hard to avoid fake news, bad information, intentional deception, of course. And so we're going to look a little bit later at an article about conspiracy theories. And, you know, one thing I think you have to always keep in mind, that people who have no interest in Bible prophecy, of course, people who don't know the Lord have no means of understanding Bible prophecy. But even those who claim to identify as Christians oftentimes do not have an interest in Bible prophecy. And what oftentimes takes place, I believe, is that those who study Bible prophecy and they see the obvious direction that the world is going in, they see the obvious warnings that were given, actually the sureties that the Lord has given us, that one day there will be a one-world government and a one-world religion and a one-world economy. It's all in the Word of God. It's not science fiction. And I think that those who do not have an interest in Bible prophecy, who claim to be Christian, are more likely to cast aspersions on those who study Bible prophecy and prophetic speculation as being conspiracy theorists, right? Because, you know, globalism, one world government, etc. There are people who are non-Christians who are wise enough to see the dangers of globalism and the direction that the world and the globalist elites are trying to take us in. So, you know, just be careful with conspiracy theories. But we want to look at an article tonight. And, you know, I would say that this gentleman identifies as a Christian, as a matter of fact. And his name is Joe Carter. He's a never-Trumper. He's identified with the social gospel, social justice group known as the Gospel Coalition. He's worked with the Southern Baptist Church as well, and, you know, which unfortunately is trending to the left, theologically and politically. And he wrote an article called Christians Are Not Immune to Conspiracy Theories. He's the editor for the Gospel Coalition, as I think I may have already mentioned, and is a executive pastor of a church in Virginia. But as I say, and I won't take the time to go into depth here, but the Gospel Coalition has many neo-Calvinist types who are against studying Bible prophecy and who prefer contemplative Catholic mysticism, in hearing from God than from the Word of God, and often twist the Scripture when they refer to the Word of God. And so this particular man is politically active liberal against our president, Donald Trump, and appeals to liberal sources, as you'll see in this article that we're going to look at. And now, the name of this particular article is Christians Are Not Immune to Conspiracy Theories. And, of course, I would like to have my own title, perhaps something like Christians Aren't Immune to Left-Wing Christians, fake Christians. And so we have to be discerning at the type of information that comes up. And I recently noticed someone had posted this article, and I thought, oh, Lord, don't they know about the Gospel Coalition? And, of course, a lot of Christians don't. And a lot of Christians actually think that this is a good organization, and which is very unfortunate. But anyway, I digress. getting back to this article by Joe Carter, let's just read a bit. A conspiracy theory explains an event or set of circumstances as a result of a secret plot, usually by powerful conspirators. Let's see. Talks about Satan has found no shortage of marks among God's children, but our current technological age has made it possible for conspiracy theories to spread faster than the novel coronavirus. The online realm, which can promote anti-intellectualism and radical individualism, has become a breeding ground for such bizarre conspiracies. He talks about one, and then he goes on. He says, and that's just one of the dozens of new conspiracy theories related to the coronavirus. There are others even more outlandish, such as that the virus is a human-made bioweapon created by Bill Gates. Well, I don't really know about that. But I do know that Bill Gates has a very poor track record in the nation of India, and I believe in Africa with his vaccines in dealing with human life. And that is something that we should all be aware of and concerned about. That's no conspiracy theory. That's documentable. It's documented, I should say. Now, numerous spurious claims are also made about Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. A Christian ministry, American Family Association, is promoting a conspiracy that Fauci has known since 2005 that chloroquine is an effective inhibitor of coronavirus. As a matter of fact, I just heard on the news tonight that our President Trump takes this particular chloroquine, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. He's taking that to help inhibit the coronavirus. He certainly has trust that it is effective. But anyway, let's move on. Another Christian group claims Fauci is part of the deep state attempt to destroy the economy and change election rules. And yet, the Democrats are changing the election rules now, aren't they? Getting all those mail-in ballots and things that are easily to get illegal votes in. And by the way, why is it that the Democrats are fighting every attempt to replace Fauci? That I find interesting. To the man, they seem to think, well, this is the guy we want to keep in there at all costs. And I have another article we'll look at later from another doctor concerning Dr. Fauci. That's not a conspiracy theory. He's one of our senators. But moving on, he says many modern conspiracies being spread by Christians were concocted by alt-right occultists, you know, right-wingers, of course, New Age pagans, or some other group dedicated to anti-Christian esotericism. Ultimately, though, all slanderous conspiracy theories originate from Satan. And I would say, you know, it's true. Of course, if you'll change the term to alt-left and watch a lot of CNN and MSNBC slander, you'll see that if you watch these networks, you'll see all kinds of conspiracy theory slander. And I'll say this, that slander is only slander if the conspiracy theory is not true. If you're stating facts, it's not slander, okay? Facts are facts. So just wanted to point that out as we look at this article. A widely shared conspiracy theory on Facebook. This is an article. This is a site that he cites, okay, in his article, in the body of his article, called PolitiFact. And this one says, a widely shared conspiracy theory on Facebook alleges that Dr. Anthony Fauci is knowingly advocating against a treatment for the novel coronavirus. An April 27 article says the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases has known since 2005 that hydroxychloroquine, a drug used to treat conditions like lupus and arthritis, is effective against coronavirus like the one that causes COVID-19. Dr. Anthony Fauci, whose expert advice to President Trump has resulted in the complete shutdown of the greatest economic engine in world history, has known since 2005 that chloroquine is an effective inhibitor of coronavirus, reads the article. How did he know this? Because of research done by the National Institutes, of which he is the director. The source of the article is One News Now, a website operated by the American Family Association, a Christian fundamentalist nonprofit founded by Mississippi pastor Donald Wildman. Okay, I won't say a lot about the American Family Association. I'm familiar with them. I don't know that much about them, but I do know that this article says, cites the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, they've classified the political organization as an anti-LGBTQ hate group. Well, maybe it's because they're fundamentalist Christians and they believe that homosexuality is a sin. You think? But for whatever reason, I have no confidence in the Southern Poverty Law Center, as they are a far-left group, as far as I'm concerned, with no credibility, and they're about as trustworthy as Snopes, the so-called facts checker. Okay, and by the way, a widely shared conspiracy theory on I'll just back up. One News Now's article, here's what I wanted to say. The One News Now's article was flagged as part of Facebook's efforts to combat false news and misinformation on its news feed. Now, I wonder how many of my listeners who are of a conservative bent have had articles that they've tried to post that were, considered not up to the Facebook standards, community standards, what have you, and basically had their information kept from being disseminated, not because it was fake news or false news or untrue, but because it wasn't left-wing. So there again, Facebook, there's another group you can certainly not put your trust in. I use Facebook, thank God, or much as I'm able. But anyway, I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, this is from PolitiFact by Daniel Funk, May 6th, and this is a liberal fact-checking site, apparently, the PolitiFact. But moving right along, I know of someone who had actually posted this article about conspiracy theories, and this person had said they used to trust Snopes, but not since they changed. And I'm thinking, they've changed? When did they change? Or did they just get caught? As far as I know, they've always been left-wing. And but anyway, this individual really has no real interest in prophecy or the end-time things, doesn't seem to care. So I can see how, in their mind, prophetically oriented truth would perhaps to them, her, appear to be a conspiracy theory. Now, this lady never said, but if you study prophecy and someone else has no use for it, then prophecy could seem to be a conspiracy theory, like I said that, to you, as the left-wing globalization becomes reality. Well, that's just a conspiracy theory about globalism. Yeah, if you can't see it coming, if you don't see what's going on, if you don't heed the warnings of what's to come, what the Lord has told us to come, so that we can warn others that he's coming, judgment's coming, and that there will be an Antichrist who will set up, will be involved in setting up these things, then, you're going to be in trouble. Like I said before, I don't believe in conspiracy theories unless they're true. I I want to read to you a little bit about Snopes from the Berean Call. But before I do, a friend of mine also commented that she talked to her doctor recently, And the doctor said, would you like to know what my opinion on what's taking place with this virus is? She said, sure. And her doctor says, well, you know, these deaths are really being inflated. You know, in other words, many deaths being attributed solely to the COVID-19 as opposed to other health issues that older people have who also contract this virus. And this particular medical doctor says that she says these deaths are being inflated and she's never seen anything like it, and that she never believed in conspiracy theories before, but she believes that something is going on here. Like I say, you know, I don't believe in conspiracy theories unless they're true. And again, I don't intend to imply that I have some insight to know exactly what's taking place here, but we have to be discerning and keep our eyes on the type of things that are taking place. And just keep in mind that, you know, this is a political season. And of course, you know, you have a situation where you find many, the major Democrat states are still shut down. The economies are not allowed to run, whereas you have many Republican states, governors, who are opening up those states. Now, you have to remember that the liberals care so much about us that they want to have open borders for illegals to come in who might infect us with who knows what diseases before this pandemic. But then they want to close the states up and isolate, which very possibly could be to break the middle class and to break the economic situation. I don't know for sure, you know, because as I've said in last programs, speaking about these viruses, we know there is a virus, and we know there have been pandemics in the past, and we know we're talking about serious issues here. But you think about the insanity of the left, that before this kicked in, they wanted to open the borders for illegals because they just loved illegals so much. Don't suppose it's because they want illegal votes, do you? And they want to let prisoners out of the jail because they just love the prisoners so much. You know, yes, let the prisoners loose on society. And you know, I think what the Democratic liberals really love, and those who identify as progressives, red-letter Christians, etc., what they really love is their anarchy. These are all pre-pandemic anarchy type moves. Open the borders for illegals. Open up the prisons. You know, do away with, you know, any capital punishment or whatever else. Anyway, I'm ranting, I guess, at this point. So I'm going to move on a little bit so we'll have time. But I want to look at a couple more articles, if I may. Let's see how my time. Okay, the Brian Call has an article on Snopes. This self-proclaimed fact-checker has been harshly criticized for its leftist bias. And as is so often the case, a tilt to the left also means a willingness to foster ignorance and complacency about the nature and magnitude of the jihad threat. After a billboard went up in Indiana pointing out six unsavory aspects of the life of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, Snopes labeled the billboard's charges mostly false. But that label applies far more accurately to the Snopes report than to the billboard, which is usually the case if it's a political issue, because Snopes is far left. Snopes' falsehood began with its initial assertion that the billboard's title, The Perfect Man, is poor translation from an Arabic phrase in the Quran, which describes the Prophet Muhammad as an excellent example. In reality, the appellation Perfect Man is not a poor translation. Excuse me. Of a Quranic phrase. It is not a Quranic phrase at all. The Quranic phrase, excellent example, is Uswa Hasana, while perfect man is Al-Insan Al-Kamil, a title ascribed to Muhammad in Islamic tradition. Snopes goes on to state that none of the items listed on the billboard appear in the Quran. They are historical events, and the accuracy of details surrounding them remain contested by scholars. This is true, but irrelevant, since Muhammad's status as the excellent example for Muslims, as well as the perfect man, make him a model for emulation for Muslims. If Muhammad did it, it is good, and Muslims should do it. A scholar that Snopes cites as an authority, and I won't mention his name, too big of a name to mention in too much time, told us that all accounts of the Prophet's life, which occurred 1,400 years ago in 7th century Arabia, were written at least 200 years after his death, and their reliability for accuracy is shaky. This unreliability is something Islamic apologists acknowledge only when confronted with unsavory aspects of Muhammad's career as recorded in the earliest Muslim sources. Chandri, this authority, doesn't mention the fact that when Islamic scholars deem a statement or action by Muhammad to be authentic, it is normative for Islamic law, and all the statements on the billboard come from Islamic sources that Muslims deem authentic. You know, so put that in your hookah and smoke it, if you will. Note the irony. Chandri disputes the number based on the fact that the source it comes from was written 200 years after the incident, but Snopes has no trouble citing other accounts that were written over 800 years after the fact to dispute the incident. That sums up the apologetic nature of Snopes' fact-checking. This isn't fact-checking. This is Islamic apologetics. Now, let me move on to another article, and probably the last, or hopefully we will get to the other one as well. And this is, as I said, I mentioned the doctor, my friend's doctor, and what her thoughts about possible conspiracy. Now, you know, so speaking of doctors, let's listen to what Senator Rand Paul, who's a medical doctor, says. Paging Dr. Fauci. Scientific evidence shows mortality rate for coronavirus approximates the annual flu for people under 60. One chart exposes lie behind universal lockdowns. And this is from the 100%fedup.com site, May 17, 2020. On May 12th, during Dr. Fauci's testimony before the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, Senator Rand Paul took a swipe at Fauci over his national strategy or his one-size-fits-all approach to the coronavirus pandemic. Senator Paul suggested to Dr. Fauci that the vast majority of Americans likely have immunity already. Dr. Rand Paul used Sweden as an example of a nation that decided to allow the virus to run its course while allowing the most vulnerable citizens to remain in isolation, and how their decision to leave their economy and schools open worked. The mortality and rate in Sweden, Paul explained, is less than the other countries surrounding them who shut down their schools and economies, adding that we need to observe the results of Sweden with an open mind. Senator Paul blasted Dr. Fauci. As much as I respect you, Dr. Fauci, I don't think you're the end-all. I don't think you're the one person that gets to make a decision. We can listen to your advice, but there are people on the other side saying there's not going to be a surge and that we can safely open up the economy, and the facts will bear this out. This morning, Senator Paul blasted Dr. Fauci for his reckless misrepresentation of the coronavirus to Americans, tweeting, paging Dr. Fauci, scientific evidence shows mortality rate for coronavirus approximates the annual flu for people under 60. Senator Rand Paul's comments were in reference to a conservative review article by Daniel Horowitz. One chart exposes the lie behind universal lockdowns. Conservative Review's Daniel Horowitz writes, what is the true infection fatality rate of COVID-19 broken down by age and health status? This is a simple question for which the CDC should have a clear answer by now, accompanied by a readable chart, a chart showing everyone's demographic risk assessment so that we can better target our infection mitigation efforts. Yet it's the one thing our government hasn't done. Wonder why? As you can see regarding the Dutch chart, the death rate doesn't even climb above 0.1% until you reach over 70, with a steep and dangerous growth of risk over 75 and 80. However, it's important to remember that even those death rates might need to be cut in half for those outside nursing homes, given that half the deaths in most countries are in senior care facilities. Why has our government not put out a similar chart? How many Americans even know that children have near zero threat, and anyone under 60 has next to no risk of dying from the virus? Even those between 60 and 69 are at much lower risk than anything the government has suggested, and that the levels of panic indicates. The World Health Organization wrongly pegged the overall death rate for all ages at 3.4% on average. This simple fact makes a world of difference both to our targeted response to the virus and also to the degree of panic that should and not be infused into society so as not to keep people away from hospitals when they are experiencing other potentially dangerous medical conditions. In most states, well over 90% of those who died of COVID-19 had serious underlying conditions. I mentioned that earlier. But it's even more than that. We now know that geography played a large role. 54% of all U.S. deaths were in the 100 counties in or within 100 miles of New York City. You know, but I suppose, and this is my comments, that, you know, to people like Joe Bell and the liberals, that this is just another conspiracy theory. Laugh out loud. We will see if there will be a surge. Of course, I prefer immunity. Who wouldn't? I prefer immunity to more untrustworthy vaccines, as I mentioned before. And remember that the 1918 Spanish flu, as I mentioned in last week's episode or podcast, was spread by World War One soldiers. Now that leaves me just enough time, I trust, to. And by the way, Robert Kennedy has been very critical of Bill Gates. And has exposed the information about his activities, Gates' activities in India and everywhere else. But let me give you another example of how misinformation, half-truths and such are employed by the left in our local newspaper. And this might be another good title for my podcast. This is a political cartoon from our local paper. It came from China, and of course this paper is liberal, like most. The cartoon has two people seated here, and one of them is saying, "Wow, I never knew all this came out of China." And the old fellow in his chair says, "What, viruses?" And the lady says, "No, I was referring to paper and printing and clocks and compasses and alcohol and tea and gunpowder and porcelain and silk and rockets and seed drills. Oh, and don't forget the toothbrush." So there you have it, folks. Yes, Chinese throughout history have made many great inventions and done great many things that we've benefited from. That's great. How many communist Chinese, how many things has this tyrannical communist government done for their own people and for the world? That's the point. They're not really reminding you of here. They just want you to know that if you say something about a virus that comes out of China, you must be racist or something, and you need to know that the Chinese are good people and they've done all those good things. Well, I'm sure there's good people in China, except for in the leaders of the Communist Party, of course. And, of course, we're all sinners. But anyway, that's my little take on it, is just giving you an example, of course, of how the liberal media distorts truth and misdirects and half-truths and slanders themselves, etc. I put my notes. Yeah, non-communist China gave us a lot of great things. And the communists gave us this virus and stole a lot of technology as well, a lot of our technology and others. So why don't we have the commies bring back the free Chinese so we can congratulate them? And then let's punish the communists and the lying media for the evil that they do. And, of course, punishment will come one day at the hand of the Lord. And that's why I'm glad I know Christ, and I hope you do too. And my time is running out, but I'm glad you're with me. I'm glad you joined in on my rant. I hope this has been somewhat of a blessing to you and encouragement in some ways. God bless you all. I hope you'll be with me again next week. Good night.